Fill your head with oil, O God.
Lock, talk,
cause your cup to overflow, O God. You are our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. And you are our soon coming King. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for this morning, Lord. We ask you now, Lord, that you saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence, O God. That you take complete control, O God. For it's you that we adore, O God. It is you that we long, O God, to. We long to hear your voice, O God. We long to, O God, be encamped in your presence, O God. We ask, Father God, that you, O God, that you would move on our behalf, O God. That you would draw us closer by your Spirit, O God. O God, draw us closer. Oh, Father, we ask you to draw us closer. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God, because you are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our soon-coming King, God. We ask you, O God, to, O God, touch this United States of America. Arise, O God. Arise and let the enemy be scattered, O God. Lord, we have in our state this evening all the LGBTQ 1+, O God, will be celebrating a big celebration in the state of Massachusetts this evening, Lord. Lord, they are proud and they are pushing up their shoulders, O God. How that they are responsible for the being the number one LGBTQ state in the country, O God, second to Vermont. Lord, we just pray today that Lord God that you convict them, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We're going to worship you now. We want to worship you. In holiness.
Will your heart and soul say yes? It's
Thank you.
more. You shall speak my faith. You shall speak my faith. You shall speak my voice. You shall speak my voice. You shall speak my voice. My voice. My voice. The day you see my voice, I'm not your heart. I'm calling you home. I'm calling you home. So much more. So much more. Let your heart and soul say yes. Hallelujah. She's gonna say, why, yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really gonna tell God, yes, come on, make it personal. Listen to me. Tell the Lord, yes.
Fall asleep, yes. My soul, my soul, my soul, yes. My soul says, yes, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what, I'll do what, I'll do what, I'll do what, I'll do what. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says, yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says, yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus.
Oh.
If he's running up, he's running up to me. Come on. You have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Lord, you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, Hallelujah, Jesus. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you've been so good. Oh, my God, and I will sing of the goodness of God. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Father. We glorify your name, Father, because you are faithful. Even when we are not faithful, you are faithful. Oh, God, you always watch over us. You keep us and you protect us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are excited and we are delighted. We are always excited to come before the Lord and before the Lord's people and speak with thus says the Lord. Today we are talking about trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. You know that sometimes it's very hard, difficult. To tell the truth is very difficult sometimes to trust in the Lord. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Sometimes it's so hard it seems like you're going through, all hell is breaking loose after you, that the enemy is coming after you, after us from every side, every corner of our lives. And sometimes we wonder, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? You know what I'm saying? But then when you think about how far he has brought you, you say, my soul cry, hallelujah. I have to praise him. I have to glorify him. I got to trust him. So we want to talk about trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how my finances is, how our finances is, how the ministry, we are going to trust in the Lord. This is what we have made a decision that we would trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are excited to trust him because he trusts us enough that he would send his son. He loved us and trust in us enough that he would send his son to die on a cross for us, for you and I. Hallelujah, glory to God. We want to go into the book of Proverbs. You all know the scriptures. So we just refreshing your mind on the things that you already know. Hallelujah. And the book of Proverbs, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Verse 5 and 6 is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Not some of your ways, but all your ways. You know, sometimes we are trusting when we want to get a job. We are trusting if we are looking for a bride, if you're looking for a husband, you would trust him, but he wants you to trust him in every area of your life. Trust him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to go into Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we want to look at verse 4 and 5. Glory to God. Look at that man, bloated by self-importance, full of himself, but soul is empty. But the person in right standing before God, true loyal and steady believing, is fully alive, really, really alive. Hear what the prophet is saying. He's talking about people that are self-centered, that are puffed up, full of pride. Hallelujah. They're full of pride. They're puffed up. They have this. They have that. And they believe that they don't even need God. So he said to us, look at that man, bloated by self-importance. He's full of himself. Full of himself, but his soul is empty. And you know some people like that. They act like they got it together. They profess that they have everything. And in fact, in the natural, they do have everything. But in the spirit realm, in the spiritual, they don't have anything. Their soul, the Bible said their soul is empty. But he said, but the person in right standing before God, true loyal and steady believing, is fully alive, really alive. If you are spending time with the Lord, you are spending time not just reading the Bible, not just fasting and praying, but you are obedient to the words of God, you are fully alive. Hallelujah. Trusting and believing in the Lord, the Bible says he will direct your path. Hallelujah. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure out stuff. It's not you. You can't do it. Every time you try to do it, you're going to fall. Hallelujah. You're going to end up falling because guess what? It is all about him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they trusted God. They know that all that they wanted come from God. Hallelujah, glory to God. They know that everything that they had was provided by God. Even when Abraham wanted to sacrifice his son for the Lord, and Isaac asked him, we got the fire, we got the knife, we got the wood. Where is the sacrifice? Abraham said the Lord will provide. He would provide a ram for the sacrifice. Abraham was speaking prophetically. He said, the Lord will provide a lamb for the sacrifice. This is when you trust the Lord, when you depend on the Lord. Even though you're about to put your son on the wood and start the fire to sacrifice him unto the Lord, he is still saying the Lord will provide a ram for the sacrifice. You have to trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Exodus chapter 4. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Then we got a lot of scriptures. We're going to do a two-part of this because we got 100 scriptures. We're going to do a two-part of this. I don't know how many parts, but we got about 100 scriptures. We're going to go in here. And Exodus chapter 4. God called Moses. He called Moses from the backside of the mountain to take care of his people. And this is God calling Moses. He says, but verse 10, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 to 16, maybe 17. And he says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I am not very good with words. I neither have been, I said, what was that parking on the Lord? Hold on a minute. I neither have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. The Lord told Moses to go. I will be with you as you speak. I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded him. Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. 14. The Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. Verse 17 says, and take your shepherd's staff with you, and go and use it to perform the miracle signs I have shown you. The Lord told Moses, he called Moses, and he's instructing Moses. Moses started to complain. He started to plead. Like us, when we get an assignment from the Lord, we come up with all types of excuses why we are not, why we can't, and why we can't go. Same thing with Jeremiah. We're talking today, the topic today is trusting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, it said the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year. Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, the Lord is telling Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. And before you even were born, I sanctified thee. I set thee apart from my work, okay? And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Watch, Jeremiah. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, the Bible says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. You see, the Lord is the one that doing the work. And when the Lord called us, he equipped us. He just doesn't call us and say, well, look, go on out there and start planting. He gives you the seed to plant. He sends the rain. He does everything. He gives you the equipment to do what you need to do. Hallelujah. But we guess, oh, no, I can't preach. I'm so nervous. And the Bible says, you have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But we get nervous, and we don't say, well, let me take a deep breath. I know every time that I go to preach somewhere, there's a fear that comes over me. And I said, no, Lord. I said, Lord, this is not mine. This fear don't belong to me. And I know it didn't come from you. Every preacher would tell you. But then you have to stand still. And when you stand still, this is where the salvation of the Lord shows up. You see the power of the Lord comes in because now you recognize that it's not you. You're not the preacher. Yes, your mouth is moving. Yes, the sound is coming out your mouth. But you're not the preacher. I'm not the preacher. We're not the preacher. And then when you realize that it's not me, but it's him, glory to God, you find words that come. I'm saying things to you today, right now, even now and every day that I don't have any notes right now. All I have is a whole bunch of scriptures. And I'm working with three computers right now in front of me. Matter of fact, I got four computers. One have the block start reading, the other three have scriptures on them. I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit said because he's a preacher. And once you realize that you're not the preacher, don't try to figure out everything that you're going to say. I just want to sound good. I want them to accept me as a preacher. No, yes, you want God to do what he can do because God already accepts you. You don't have to say, I want God to accept me because God already accepts you. If God didn't accept you as a preacher, you will not be able to preach at all. At all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God make a donkey talk. He'll make you talk for him. If you surrender your lips to him, give your tongue to him, God will make you talk for him. You'll find that you're preaching so eloquent. People say, well, I didn't know that boy could preach that good. I didn't know that girl could preach that well. Why? Because it's not you preaching, it's God preaching. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm working all these Bibles here, making them work. But here what he says, let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 and 5. See, this is where you've got to really humble yourself. You have to step down from the position of that I'm all that in the bag of chips and the Pepsi Cola. He says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he said, look at that man coming out in the Message Bible. See, I got a lot of Bibles. I couldn't afford to buy all these Bibles, but I got a lot of Bibles on my computer. The Message Bible said, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he says, look at that man. He bloated. In other words, he's puffed up. He's bloated by self-importance, full of himself. But his soul is empty. Soul empty. But the person in right standing before God, through loyal and steady believing, is fully alive. Really alive. See, when your focus is on God and of God, and you're allowing God to use you, what happens is you cannot be deceived by the things of the world. The fifth verse says, not wealth. Money deceives the arrogant rich. Don't last. They are more hungry for wealth than the grave is for cadavers. Cadavers. That means for the body, dead bodies. Like death, they always want more. But the more they get, is dead bodies. There are cemeteries filled with dead nations, graveyards filled with corpses. Hear what the Lord is saying about them. I want to look at that in the King James Version. Glory to God. Let's look at that in the King James Version. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, my God, my God, my God. I'm telling you something. You got to really get your head together. Take your head out the sand. Hallelujah. So many people. Habakkuk chapter 2. And let's look at verse 5. Here it says, you also, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man. Neither keepeth at home. He don't stay home. He is running behind all the women in the streets. His wife is home by herself. Listen what God is saying. Neither keepeth at home. Who enlarges his desire as hell and is in as death and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations and heapeth unto him all people. He's a busybody. She's a busybody. Hear what God is saying to us. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We'll hit these books every which way. Romans chapter 7 and verses 18. Romans 7 and 18. And he says here in the Message Bible, I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. King James Version says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's difficult. See, when we're trying to do things on our own accord, when we're trying to do it out of our own strength and our own power and our own intelligence, our own knowledge, it's hard. But when God is leading, we can accomplish the job. I've been doing this, what I've been doing for, I don't know, maybe 30 years or more than 30 years, plumbing, heating, air conditioning. Every time I get to go out, I had a man call me this morning, deacon from the church that I was part of. He's got a painting business. His business is painting. He got a lot of painters work for him, and carpenters. And when he gets some work, plumbing work, sometimes he calls me or he calls this other guy. But mostly he'll give me a call. He called me this morning. He says he got a walking tub. You know, it's one of these walking jacuzzi tubs, you know, have the jets and all that stuff, the lights and all that kind of stuff. And it's a really fancy thing. Costs about almost $4,000. And he called me this morning and said, well, you know how to put in walking tubs. Well, the only thing different is that it has jets on it. It's just like a regular whirlpool tub. And it's taller. And it has a locked door. So he said, well, he wants to put one in his mother's house. So he wants to know when I can go and look at it. I said, well, tomorrow morning or Saturday morning, I can go and look at it. Look at it and see. But I'm going out of town in a couple of weeks. So we had to get it done early or give the job to somebody else, you know. But before I do, I said, Lord, you know, even though I know I got what God gave me, he gave me this. And when I was in the world and drugging and stuff, the devil could not take my knowledge from me. He took a lot of stuff from me. He took houses, cars, trucks, vans, all kind of stuff he took from me, you know. But he couldn't take my knowledge, the knowledge that God gave to me, you know. So I'm prompt with this. He said, Paul is a smart man. He wrote 13 books, and he speaks so many languages. But this thing that he could not do, and he tells you right here in Romans, King James Version, says, for I know that in me, that's in his flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, he said, I can think about it. To will is present with me. That's what he said. I can think about it, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's hard for me to do. Paul even tell you in that scripture, every time I want to do good, evil is present. You know, we got to understand this. We got to look. Listen, right up here. Let's go to verse 14 and come down. Come back down. He says, for I know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Soul on the scene. See? Listen to Paul. He's talking about himself. Sometimes we get a PhD, a doctor degree, and I see folk everywhere, rich way on Facebook now. They're talking about their doctorate degree. My mama got a doctorate degree. My brother got a doctorate. My son, my daughter. I just got a doctorate degree, doctorate theology. And they're boasting about it. But having a doctorate theology, that don't mean that you're holy. That don't mean that you're living for Christ. You may be talking for him, but you're not living for him. So there's a difference to talking and living. So Paul is talking about himself. He said, for that which I do, allow not. For what I would, that I do not. That do I not, excuse me. But what I hate, that I do. If I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. See, if I do the thing that I shouldn't do, I'm consenting that it's good. Like, for instance, say you know that you are married, or you're single. Let's use both of them, married or single. And you say, well, I'm going out this weekend. I'm going to have a good time. I'm with the boys. And the boys say, well, your wife is not with you. We our wife is home. Let's just let our hair down. Let our bald head just shine and just have a good time. And next thing you know, some single girl or single man coming to you, and you just say, well, let me buy you a couple of drinks and having a good time. And then the girl says, or the man says, well, you want to go spend some time with me at my apartment, at my house? You know you shouldn't do it because you're married. And if you're single, you see, and you're a Christian, you're born again, you shouldn't be drinking anyway. But you say, well, I can't do it because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to fornicate. But the Paul says that with a hint, I do, that I do. He says, and then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that is good. He said, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He says, no good thing dwelleth in my flesh. Sin is in my flesh. See, when Jesus died on the cross, when he was crucified, when he gave his life as a sacrifice, hallelujah, for our sin, he died for our soul, for our spiritual man, not for our flesh. He died to save our soul. So when we come and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, you've seen I spiritually give my spirit man to Christ, because the flesh man is going to still want to do what it want to do. That's why even while you're staying for 40, 50 years, you're saved, still the flesh want to make you do something else. The flesh wants something else. Say, I've been drinking in 30-some years, and the flesh says, why don't you have some cognac? Why don't go down south this summertime? You're going to hang out with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. Why don't you just drink some corn liquor? You know, they got the good peach whiskey down there, that apple whiskey down there. Man, let's get some of that. The boys make that stuff up in the mountains, up in the hills. And it's so good. It's been fermented for a long time, and now it's ready to go. Yeah, you don't have too much. You're going to be gone. No, you say, well, I'm away from the church. The flesh tells you, boy, you girl, you're away from the church. All the deacons, the elders, they can't see you. Why don't you just have a good time? Sister Mary wants to be with you. See, and the flesh is talking. I remember when I was out there and I was playing. There was time when I didn't have no money, you know, the weekend. And I said, in the week, I said, well, you know, man, I'm not getting high anymore. I'm through with that stuff. I'm finished with that stuff. I'm not getting high anymore. But no sooner that I get some money, no sooner I get a check, that old flesh, let me tell you, that old flesh start talking to me. You hear what I'm saying? I just was saying from Monday to Thursday, I was saying, I ain't getting high anymore. I'm not going to get high anymore. I'm finished with that. But Friday, I'm going to get my check on Friday. Hear me. And once I get that check, the flesh starts telling me what to do. Do you hear me? They say, well, I'm not going down there. And then when you go down there, you say, the truck just went down there. You know the truck can't go down there by itself. Car can't go down there. But the flesh wants to get high. Because the flesh likes how it feels when you're getting high. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. And when the flesh is talking, we have to say, no, not today. Lord, I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for keeping me. I'm going to stand, Lord. Even though I'm going through the valley of shadow of death, I'm fearing no evil. You've got to begin to speak some scriptures over your life in order to stand, be in right standing with God. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, for who do you know that really knows you? knows your heart. Even if they did, is there any they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Is there anything in you that they would discover that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have and everything you are shared gifts from God? So what's the point of all the comparing and competing? You know, we get together and we act like we all that, I like to say, and a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. Because we may think we preach a little better than somebody else. And we think that if we don't show up, they can't continue because we're better than them or we're better than that person. But you know that as the person continue, if the person continue that you think is not that great, if they continue to stand flat-footed before God every single day, every chance that they get, God is going to make them a little better. And eventually, because you have walked away, you have turned away. When next time you see or hear that person, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how God has raised that person up because they did not give up. They did not give up. They stood with God. Paul talked about that early in the, Solomon talked about that early. You said it. Habakkuk talked about it in chapter 2, verse 4. He spoke about it. The person who stands. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. I'd like to read this out of King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not receive it? This is very clear. Both of them are very clear. The message and the King James. Paul said, what makes you act like you're different than somebody else, like you're better than somebody else? And what do you have that you have not received? Your sight, God give to you. Your hearing, God give to you. Your intellect, God give to you. Your walking, God give you. You're touching, you're smelling, God gives to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we ought to be praising God and thanking God for every little thing that we have. And even everything that we're hoping to have, we ought to be giving God praise for. John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. This is the Logos Bible. I am the vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Listen, verse 5. That was verse 1. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For apart from me, you are not able to do anything. You hear what God said? This is Jesus speaking. Let me look at it in the Message Bible. John chapter 15. Verse 1 and verse 5. He says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. This is in the Message Bible. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate, and organic. The harvest is sure abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. He resists. Separated from him, you can't do anything. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and 10. True faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah trusted God. He says, Hebrews 11 and 11. Hebrews 11 and 10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builders and maker is God. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. And I told you earlier that sometimes it's difficult because sometimes we are going through situations where it seems like nothing is happening for us. How would the pastor come on? His line is dropping off. I don't know. But he's back. He's there. Genesis chapter 28, and we're coming out the Message Bible and the King James and the Logos. Genesis chapter 28 and verses 20 to 22. Jacob vowed a vow. If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I am setting out, keeps me in food and clothing, verse 21, and bring me back in one piece to my father's house, this God will be my God. Verse 22 says, this stone that I have set up as a memorial pillar will mark this as a place where God lives. And everything you give me, I return a tenth to you. Jacob is saying that if God takes care of him and watch over him, hallelujah, that he is going to set up a place for God's presence. Not only that, but he's going to give God a tenth of everything that God gives to him. Because remember, we just said that in the book of Romans and Corinthians. There's nothing that we have that God did not give to us. There's nothing that we hope to receive that God is not the person that's making it possible. So why are we puffed up? Why are we bloated with self-importance like we all that? The Bible tips in the Pepsi corner. Here he says, go to Exodus chapter. We hit another red, you think? Yeah, we hit another red. Exodus chapter 4. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. Sometimes it's difficult. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. This same Moses, when God called him from the backside of the mountain, he began to plead with God. Remember, we talked about that in Exodus chapter 4. He began to plead with God. He began to plead with God, and he began to say to God that he was not eloquent in speech, that he wasn't able to speak, to talk. When God called Jeremiah, he was saying the same thing. Sometimes what we do, we don't adhere to what God's called and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do. I'm available. Use me however you can. Speak to me and speak through me, Lord. I'm available. But what we do is that we complain with God. Many people don't believe in the life that the world that we are living in today. Most people don't believe in God. They believe in self. They're self-indulgence. They're all about themselves. They mock people. They laugh at people. They criticize people like they're all that, the bag of chips in the Pepsi Cola. They act like they're better than everybody else, knowing that everybody's going to die and go into the pit. The grave, every grave is the same size, whether you're 6 feet or if you're 10 off your 4 feet.
All the graves are the same width. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're white or whether you're black, all the graves are the same. But the good thing about our grave is that when we go in there, there's only our flesh going in there. Our soul is not going in there because God has already paid the price for our soul. He has set us free from the pit of hell by washing us and cleansing us in his blood. Understand that. So don't be afraid of dying. I'm not afraid. Don't be afraid of dying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's jump all the way down. We're going to read these three Bibles here. Glory to God. The Message and the Message and the King James. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Start at verse 26. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? He chose these nobodies to expose the hollow, pretensions of the somebodies. For you see your calling, brethren, King James, that was the Message. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God did. He didn't say man did. God is the one that called you, that called us, that chose us, that brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is the one that blessed us with sound hearing. Give us eyes to see and a mouth to speak, a tongue to speak, feet to walk, hands to touch. He's the one that gives us the wisdom that we have. This is why we need to trust him with all our heart and lean on to our own understanding. In all our ways, we got to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. This is what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says. But we find ourselves going in and out, left and right, and not falling after the instructions of the Lord. Let's go back into this text. Verse 29 says, the Message Bible says, that makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Verse 39 says, everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clear slate and fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Verse 31, the final verse, he says, that's why we have the saying, if you are going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. King James Version. that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God made unto us wisdom, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If there's going to be any praise, let's praise God for where we are, what we have become, what we are becoming, because he's taken us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He's not finished with us yet. So don't you get and sound out a trumpet like you have done this thing, you're doing this thing. No, it's God. He's the one that's doing it with us, using us. He chose to use us. Hallelujah, glory to God. He didn't have to, but he chose to use us. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God. Numbers, go to Numbers, chapter 11. Numbers, chapter 11, Old Testament scripture. If you don't know, Old Testament scripture. We're going back and forth. And verses 4 and 5. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onion and the garlic. Drop down too fast. Oh, let's go up to 4. Let's go to the first one. And when the people complained, it pleased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. It displeased the Lord, excuse me. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. In other words, the fire stopped. God stopped the fire. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Verse 4, 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? But remember, we remember the flesh which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. See, the people are constantly looking back. God has brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. Isn't that like us? We got people today, I watch them on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Periscope, on Zoom. I watch them. They say they save and sanctify. And every time something go on, they talk about, oh, 400 years we were in slavery, and 400 years this, and 400 years. They're not moving. They're stagnated, dirty water. You know, when water's moving, the mosquitoes can't breathe, But as soon as the water is stagnant, it's still, the mosquitoes will lay their eggs on the water and hatch their eggs right there. And we become stagnant because all we're doing is looking back on our past and being in slavery. You're free now. You don't want to use your free. You want to exercise. God has paid the ultimate price for us, oh God, so that we can move forward. The people fell to grumbling over their hard life. God heard. When he heard, his anger flared. Then fire blazed up and burned the outer boundaries of the camp. The people cried out for help to Moses. Moses prayed to God, and the fire died down. They named the place Taberah, blaze, meaning blaze, because fire from God had blazed up against them. The riffraff among the people had a craving, and soon they had the people of Israel whining, "Why can't we have meat? We ate fish in Egypt and got it free, to say nothing of the cucumbers and melons, the leeks and onions and garlic. But nothing tastes good out here. All we get is manna, manna, manna." The people begin to complain. We don't give God praise for all that he has done for us. All we do is complain what we don't have. We look at others and we become jealous. We are stuck on stupid. We don't want to give God the praises that due to his name. Because why? We're busy focusing on what we don't have. There's people today, I have some people call me, send me messages on Facebook. One preacher, he lost his sister, and he's left with a hospital bill. They took a long time to treat her because they didn't have the money to pay the bill. You know, in Africa it's hard. If you don't have the money, the doctors don't want to attend to you. You will die right there from something that people can go to the drugstore and get something simple and save their life. But if you don't have the money, they're not going to give it to you. So his sister died, you know. He had some type of infection inside her vagina that was very simple, and they didn't give her the medication. But now the hospital want all this money from her brother and her sister-in-law, and they're sending me messages on inbox, on Messenger, that they need help. I had another pastor here. He's in Virginia. He's from Brazil. And something went on with him. He lost his job, you know, regular job. He lost his apartment. And one of the deacons that we helped last year, and he was very, let me say, he's an elder now. And he was very appreciative. We helped them out, and strange thing, he said, you know, that when we helped him when he needed to take care of his heat and the light and the water and all that stuff, and we have him, long talk, we have him. And now he was able to use some of the money to get his CDL license, and he's driving tractor trailer. You know, so we're doing things. We're not big in finances, but we are doing things with a little that we have that God bless us with, and helping people. So he wants us to help the pastor. I said, well, if the Lord bless us, we will help the pastor. If this job that we just got a call for this morning come true, we should be able to help him, because we should be able to finish the job before we go on a little vacation. God is calling us to help one another. This was Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. God is dependent on us, you and I, us, to be his hands, to be his eyes, be his feet. And see, we can't say we love the Lord and we have no compassion for our brothers and sisters. All we're looking for is argumentative. We are fussing and fighting with each other. It's going on all over the place. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses speaking, these people is coming up all the time. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your father. The Lord has given a command, and the preacher has to has to give the same command. We are watering down too many, not us here on this line, but those that's going to hear this message. Too many preachers are watering down the word. They're watering down the word of God, the commands of God, and not giving the people the full doctrine. We always say on Love Talk, we that sound doctrine makes some people. But if you don't give them the sound doctrine, they're going to be still, they're going to be stagnant. They're going to be like dirty water. You understand? Because they're not getting what they need, the nourishment that they need for their souls. Because preachers are saying today, well, we don't need to talk all that stuff. We don't know what to say that stuff. Why? Why? We're supposed to tell them what they're doing is not pleasing God. And if you do that, what happens is that people will be convicted. They may get upset with you when they're in the sanctuary. But when they leave the sanctuary and they're driving down, driving back home, that message, the Holy Spirit will regurgitate that message in their spirit, man. And they're going to say, look, you know, my pastor was right. And I know I was upset with the pastor, but my pastor was right. I've been living this life just what the pastor been saying I've been doing. They don't know what I've been doing that, but I've been doing it. And they would be convicted to go before God and repent. He says, verse 2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3 says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. God has laid this thing out. Sometimes he allows us to go through so much. He allows us to go through to see that we're going to trust in him, that we're going to depend on him, we will rely on him. You ever get into the courtroom and you're sitting right there knowing that all this stuff is going on? And you know that you're facing a uphill battle. You're pushing against the wind. And you bow your head then, and in your heart you will start talking to God. To Lord, if you would just get me out of this thing. And you're talking to him, Lord, if you would just get me through this. I'll reverence you, Lord. I'll serve you. And God knows. And as soon as he bring you out and you get out, it is not too long before you go back to your old self-importance. Into your self-importance, like we said in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We go back into that place with our chest pushed up like we arrived. And all God wants us to do is trust him, depend on him, rely on him. This is all he wants. This is all he is asking for from us. And then when we do that, we begin to get the hand of what he says, then we'll possess the land. We'll multiply. He'll multiply us. He'll cause us to multiply. Why? Because of our obedience. Because of our trusting in him. Go to Psalm 2, Book of Psalms, in the King James Version, Psalm 2, the second division of Psalms. Here he says, verse 1, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed stand. Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. Hear what the people are saying. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Lord won't cause them to be confused. He shall have them in derision. He says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. We are living in a time where the people are not interested in hearing from the Lord. A lot of them. Not all of them. But a lot of people. And somewhat I like to say that the church is responsible. Do you hear me? Somewhat the church is responsible. Because a lot of the leaders, some of the so-called leaders, has gotten to a place they got comfortable because they have drawn many people that come after they sing. They come after what they're saying. They say, you know, let me just go down by Joe Blow. He got good music down there. They got a good choir. They got a good praise team. And, you know, he's not judgmental. That's what they said. They make you feel guilty. You should be making them feel guilty with the word of God. But they make the preachers feel guilty. They say, preacher's too judgmental because you tell the truth. And when they say you're too judgmental, no, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to tell the truth anymore. He says here, why the big noise nations, why the mean plus people, earth leaders push for positions. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers, let's go free of God. Cast loose from Messiah. Heaven's throne, God breaks out laughing. At first he amused at their presumption. Then he gets good and angry. Furiously, he shuts them up. Verse 9 in the Message Bible. You can command them all to dance for you or throw them out if tomorrow's trash. God has the power. And God is calling for us to honor him. How you honor him? By trusting in him, by obeying his word, being obedient to him. This word is not going to last. But the word of God is going to last forever. Remember Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word stands forever. You have to lose your life to gain it. People are saying they're going to heaven, but I got you to tell you, most of them, you say, they say they're going to heaven, they're not going to heaven. They're going to bust hell wide open. Because in order to go to heaven, you're going to have to die. You're going to have to die to self. You're going to have to take up your cross daily, follow Jesus. You're going to have to willing to give up family members. You're going to have to willing to give up friends. You're going to have to be willing to give up associations, places, people, and things. You're going to have to be willing to give them up. Let go and let God. Some family members are not going to enter in with you. You have to focus on your soul's salvation. He said you have to work it out with fear and trembling. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is what the psalmist says, what God should do. Isaiah chapter 58. We're talking about trusting in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. And you have to read that whole thing. You got to trust in him with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding in all thy ways. Every thought, every minute part of your soul must trust in the Lord. Isaiah 58 and 3 says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and accept your labors. See, how are you fasting? We are boasting and bragging about how much time we fast and all this stuff. But we're not fasting unto the Lord because we're not spending time with him. Let's put it in the Message Bible. The time that we need to spend with him. If we're fasting unto the Lord, we ought to see some things happen, some evidence. Hallelujah. Some evidence. We take that boasting is that all of verse 3 in the Message. But they also complain. Why do we fast and you don't look our way? Why do we humble ourselves and you don't even notice? Well, here's why, the Lord says. The bottom line on your fast days, you drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time, you bicker and fight. You fast, but swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do won't get your praise off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast day I am after? A day to show off humility? To put on a pious look face and parade around solemnly in black? Do you call that fasting a fast day that I, God, would like? This is the kind of fast I am after, to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, and cancel debt. What I'm interested in, can you do it, is sharing your food to hunger, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering, ill-clad being, available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will be turned on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. This is what God is saying. If we trust him, we're going to obey him. We're going to follow his instructions. They want to do our own thing. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. That was out the Message. I like that Isaiah 58 out of the Message. That was powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Glory to God. Ooh. This is what God is saying to us today. We really have to trust him. We have to spend time in fasting and praying, seeking the face, his face and not his hand. Hear what he says, that we do it for profit. We believe that when we fast, and we're going to begin to prosper. And a lot of times they fast and they write their fast notes on how much they're going to gain, but they don't write it on getting close to God. And this is what it ought to be. We want to get closer to him. We want to please him in every area of our life. This is why we're fasting, to get closer to him. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 18. Then I prostrate myself before God, just as I had at the beginning of the 40 days and nights. I ate no food. I drank no water. I did this because of you, all your sins, sinning against God, doing what is evil in God's eyes and making him angry. Sometimes the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, got to go in there and got to turn your plate over for the congregation. And you have to go in and you have to intercede for them like never before. You want to see the congregation grow. You want to see the congregation heal. thoughts and pray for them. Don't tell nobody what you're doing. And if you're married, hopefully your wife will be on your, in agreement with you, or your husband will be in agreement with you. And there'll be no fight in the midst of the fast. Because if we're fighting that is too long, it's not going to work for you. Hallelujah. It's not going to work. We got to be on this one accord. Moses says, I fell down before the Lord, and at the first 40 days and 40 nights, I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which you sinned, and in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord, provoke him to anger. You know, sometimes you have congregation members that are slipping and dipping, and you don't know. But God show you a time to fast and how to fast. And you have to go in there and fast for the people. I'm not going to go to the restaurant tonight. I'm just going fast. Everybody's going out to eat, but I'm going to stay back. They don't know. So why pastor don't want to come? Pastor just going to take a day. Time out from. I know everybody wanted to buy the pastor food. They wanted to pay for the pastor dinner. Pastor just stay back and take that 1 hour, that 2 hours that pastor stay back home and fasting for the church can make a whole lot of difference. The spirit smell good. The chicken smell good. Oh, God, the prime rib smell good. The seafood smell good, but it's much better in his presence. Esther chapter 4. Verses, go and get all the Jews living in Susa together. Fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, either day or night. I and my maids will fast with you. If you will do this, I'll go to the king, even though it's forbidden. If I die, I die. Esther says, I'll go for the king. First she asked the people to pray, fast and pray with her for 3 days and three nights. And she's going for her people. She said, if I perish, I perish. It is hard for us sometimes to just give up. And let God, I'm just finishing this page. I've got three more scriptures to give you and finish this page, and then we'll come back the next time and we'll do another part two of this trust in the Lord. God is calling us to a higher standard. We got to get up off the ground. It's time for us to come higher. God wants us, his people, to come up higher. Come up higher. Glory to God. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. But he has already made a plan how to live, what to do. What God is looking for in men and women is quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor, and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Sometimes we are so, make ourselves so important, and we forget about the assignment that God has given us. We forget about our vocation, the calling that's on our lives. He says, attention, God calls out to the city. If you know what's good for you, you'll listen. So listen, all of you. This is serious business. Verse 9. Verse 10 says, do you expect me to overlook obscene wealth. You'll pile up by cheating and fraud. Do you think I'll tolerate shady dealers and shifty scheming? I am tired of the violent rich bullying their way with bluffs and lies. I am fed up. Beginning now, you are finished. You'll pay for your sins down to your last cent. No matter how much you get, it will never be enough. Hollow stomachs, empty hearts. No matter how hard you work, you'll have nothing to show for it. Bankrupt lives, wasted souls. You'll plant grass but never get a lawn. You'll make jelly but never spread it on your bread. You'll press apples but never drink the cider. You'll have lives by the standard of your king, Omri, and decadent lifestyle of the family of Ahab, because you've lavishly followed their fashion. I am forcing you into bankruptcy. Your way of life will be laughed at, a tasteless joke. Your lives will be derided as futile and fake. It's God speaking. Go to Isaiah 66. We just read you Micah chapter 4, verse 8 to 16. Go to Isaiah 66. Maybe one more scripture after this. Isaiah chapter 66. Trusting in the Lord. We have to make up in our mind. He is real. And he wants our heart. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2. 1 and 2. God's message, heaven, my throne, earth is my footstool. What sort of house could you build for me? What holiday spot reserved for me? I made all this. I own all this, God's decree. But there is something I'm looking for, a person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what I say. Hear what the Lord is looking for. A person that's responsive, reverently responsive. They're looking for a simple and plain, reverently responsive to what he says. Not someone who is puffed up. Have a bishop told me, he says that. He said, Apostle, you shouldn't mess with the sheep. Sheep are dumb. He was talking about his congregation. It was his congregation. I was his assistant pastor at that time, years ago. And he told me I shouldn't mess, because after service, even if I preach or who don't preach, you know, I would go and talk to the people, you know, showing love, you know, compassionate, walking around and talking to people in Greenpeace. He tells me, he told me, he said, you should be messing with the people, the sheep, because sheep is dumb. They're God's sheep. I told him, I said, man, you know, they're God's sheep. He gave his life for them. He gave his life for them. At least I can talk to them. I can talk to the people. But, you know, there's a lot of preachers like that. They don't have no time for the people, because they think that they're better. They put themselves on pedestals. You understand? And God is saying that's a bad place to be. He's looking for a person simple and plain, reverently responsive to what he said. Last scripture, Ezekiel. And we're in the Message Bible. Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ezekiel 16. Let's look at 49, verse 49. Hallelujah. This is what the sovereign Lord said. The sin of your sister Sodom was this. She lived with her daughters in the lap of luxury, proud, gluttonous, and lazy. They ignore the oppressed and the poor. They put on ears and lived obscene lives. And you know what happened. I did away with them. And Samaria didn't sin half as much as you. You have committed far more obscenities than she ever did. Why? You make your two sisters look good in comparison with what you have done. Face it. Your sisters look mighty good compared with you because you have out-sinned them so completely, actually made them look righteous. Aren't you ashamed? But you are going to have to live with it. What a reputation to carry into history, out-sinning your two sisters. This is so powerful. Then he says, but I am going to revere their fortunes. Their fortunes of Sodom and her daughters, and the fortunes of Samaria and her daughters. And get this, your fortunes right along with them. Still, you're going to have to live with your shame. And by facing and accepting your shame, you're going to provide some comfort to your two sisters. Your sister Sodom with her daughters and Samaria with her daughters will become what they were before. And you will become what you were before. Remember, the days when you were putting on ears, acting so high and mighty, looking down on Sister Sodom. Listen, as I was studying this, what come to my mind, our country, the United States of America, and I thought about, came in my mind, in my spiritual eye, how they degraded and make fun of the African nations. And they talk bad about them. And look at us now. We have surpassed them with our iniquity, our sin, our corruption. We have surpassed them. And God says we will be put to shame. We will be put to shame. You can put it in that scripture. We will be put to shame. If we don't repent, we will be put to shame. The United States of America will be put to shame. Don't matter. And he talked about it in this text here about the riches. Don't matter how rich you got billionaires that are fucking. They said there's only two men in America that is running America. The man that was talking about them, that was doing the synopsis of these two men, he said that these two men run America. No matter who is in the power. If it's Democrat, if it's Republican, these two men, these are extremely rich men. They are billionaires. And they run the United States of America. They run and they are formulated all the corruption that goes on in this nation. Then God just told you that they will be ashamed. He gonna make it be ashamed. They're not gonna go scot-free. This is what God said.
the sovereign Lord says. And we have to understand that when God says something, it's right here in this book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. I mean, I like it in the Logos, in the Amplified, but I like this way he speaks here in the Message Bible, because it's just like he was talking with me. Right there, I mean, it's very simplistic. He brought it down to earth here in the Message Bible that you could really get the gravity of what he's trying to say to us. It's not easy, you know, and we have to repent. But you have people that are in position now, the world system and the world leaders. He talked about the leaders, the world leaders. They are puffed up. They're not looking to the sovereign Lord because they are puffed up. They think that they have arrived. So we're doing whatever we got. We got bunkers. We got all this stuff. And bunkers are not going to save you from the sovereign Lord. If you run to the rocks will not be able to hide you. If you go down to hell, he'll be there. If you go to the ocean deep, if you take wings on the winds of the world, he'll be there. You can't hide from him. You can't hide from him. This is the way it is. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for your omnipotent presence, your omnipresent, omniscient presence. We thank you, God, for loving us when we couldn't love ourselves, for caring for us when we couldn't care for ourselves, for forgiving us when no one else will, having mercy on us when no one else will. We ask you, Father God, to continue to watch over us, our family, our friends, our co-workers, our co-laborers in the vineyard. We pray, Father God, for those that are sick in their bodies even right now, those that are suffering from some type of infirmity. We ask you, God, to lift it off of them. You are the one. You're the only one, God. We trust and we depend upon you. You are our supplier. You are our deliverer, our restorer. Oh, God, we ask today, God, that you heal. We send the message of healing all over the airways today. And we ask, Father God, that somebody might hear. Somebody might submit, oh God, the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, and say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for healing, man. Thank you for deliverance, oh God. I thank you for restoring, oh God. I thank you, Lord God. Somebody's running a con game on somebody, Lord, but I ask you to remove that spirit of deception from that person, oh God. We pray, Father God, that they want help, but no, oh God, they're not asking for help out of love or need, but they're asking for help out of a deceptive spirit, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you remove that spirit of deception right now in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we pray today that you touch your servants all over the world, the ones that you have called out of darkness into your marvelous light, the ones you have chosen, oh, God, where people thought they would never become anything. But, Lord, you have made them ambassadors, oh, God, for you. Lord, I ask today, Lord, that you touch their hearts even more and cause their hearts to even be much softer, oh God, than it is right now, God, that they would give, oh God, they would give into the kingdom to help the poor, the rich, the poor, the widows, oh God, the orphans, oh God, those that are homeless, oh God, those that are without clothes, that are naked, oh God, Lord, that they would help, oh God. Father, we pray today, Lord God, for the United States of America. Lord, that you touch this government, oh God, touch every portion, every part of the government, God, regardless of what their titles are, oh God, what is it, Republicans, Democrats, oh God, the House, the House of Representatives, oh God, the Senate, Lord God, the Congress, Lord God, touch, oh God, the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, I ask you to bring, oh God, restoration in our nation. Our nation is hurting, oh God, oh God. And all the love and compassion is being depleted. But, Father, I ask you to restore compassion in our nation. Restore love. Restore, oh God, grace and mercy in our nation, Father. We speak to the atmosphere right now. We ask the atmosphere. We command the atmosphere to take the power of God, take the love of God, and move it from breast to breast, from heart to heart. We command it right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Let rivers of living water flow through our nation.
Let the breath of life flow to our nation. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, for sound doctrine to begin to be spoken, oh God, from the pulpit, oh God, from the oh God, from that holy desk, oh God, as the men and women stand behind that desk, let them only focus on what you will have them to say. Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus for supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We pray for it to come out, come forth, oh God, and that men and women will be delivered, oh God, that there be restoration in the name of Jesus in this earth realm. Oh, we thank you, Father God. We thank you and praise you, God. We pray for Africa. We pray for India. We pray for China, for Japan, for Afghanistan, for Iraq and Iran. We pray for Syria. Yes, Lord. We pray for Germany. Yes, Lord. We pray for the Philippine Islands, for the Fiji Islands, the Caribbean. We pray for Canada, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. We pray for all over Europe, Lord God, the British Isles, Lord. We are praying right now, oh God, for supernatural outpouring, oh God. Lord, let your mercy let your mercy be felt, oh God. Lord, we pray, let men receive your grace, oh God. They will feel the anointing, oh God, that you deliver, you release in the atmosphere, God, that men will begin to bow, oh God. They'll begin to bow and acknowledge your grace, oh God. Father, we pray now for that one that don't know Jesus, oh God. We pray that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you will bow down today, that you would just, oh God, that you would humble yourself, oh God, and recognize that it's him, that he is Lord, that he's the one that went to the cross today. And if you don't know him, oh God, just ask him today. Just call up to him right now where you are, oh God, according to Matthew 3 and 6. John 3 and 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says in John 3 and 19, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So glory to God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for new revelation in this word, oh God. And the book of Acts says that Peter told that every one of you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If the moment you receive, you accept him, that you bow down to him, that you give your heart to him, he begins blessing you. He don't wait. He's blessing you. Just let you know there's blessings awaiting you. All you have to do is submit and commit to him. Give your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save you. He says not to be dead that any should perish. Hallelujah. Romans 3 and 23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, that means you and I, everybody on this earth, hallelujah, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, that God sent his, God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were yet in sin, Christ was on the cross, paying the price for you. The price that you owed that you could not pay. The debt you owed that you could not pay. He was on the cross. He did not come down from the cross. Hallelujah. He stayed on the cross so that you would have access to the tree of life. And the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we shall be saved. Jesus is the only name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to call upon him and you have to repent. And repentance means that you have to turn away from your sinful lifestyle. And that lifestyle is always going to try to pressure you. Hallelujah. Remember we talked about that in the book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter 7. You know, the sin is always going to talk because your flesh don't want to give up. Hallelujah. No matter how long you've been preaching, teaching, singing, dancing for the Lord, that flesh is still going to talk. The flesh is going to still want to make you do what it wants to do. Hallelujah. The flesh is going to make you get angry when you shouldn't be angry. You should be full of love, full of compassion, but the flesh is going to make you get that way. Hallelujah, because that's what the flesh does. You know, the flesh is that way. The flesh wants to have control of you and I. The flesh wants to rule and reign in our life. But we have to start standing flat-footed. I like to say that all the time. We have to start standing flat-footed in the Lord. In other words, you are saying to the Lord, yes, here I am, Lord. I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. Hallelujah. I am yours and you are mine. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you get it that way, you'll be able to be victorious. If you get it that way, you will be able to be victorious. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just take it this time right now and say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I've been living my life in sin, but I understand that if I repent and turn from my sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I repent today for all the sin that I have committed. I know that you forgive me. I believe in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11 says that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I believe, Jesus, that you died on a hill called Calvary, or the skull, Golgotha. And you died for me, a king for a peasant. And I really appreciate it that you did this for me, that if I was the only one on earth, that you would have left your home in glory and come into time to set me free. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior, as my soon coming King. In Jesus' holy name I pray. If you just said that prayer and you believe what you have said with your mouth, you allow Jesus to enter your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. It is that simple. You need to get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so that you get a gospel understanding of Jesus, the Savior, that we teach and preach about every single day. He is in the Word. You can't preach a scripture that he's not there, because he's from the beginning to the end. He is from Genesis to Revelation. You can't escape it. You know, he's all over the book. And as you study the Word, trust the Holy Spirit, like we were talking about today. Trust him to make everything plain for you, give you clear understanding. This is what the gospel is about. The gospel is about giving us understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The line is open for anyone that wants to come on and respond. The line is.
God bless you, Apostle. Apostle Cannon, love you. Apostle, love every apostle, minister, and evangelist, prophet on this prayer line. I mean, on the radio broadcast, you know, even on the radio line. God bless everyone. Enjoy the word. Sometimes I get on here when you're working and unload the truck, but thank God for the word. It was powerful. You can tell the Holy Spirit had you going in different areas, you know, preaching the word of God and knowing how to, and, you know, things I've listened to, you know, being thankful for how good God is. I was just doing it while you were talking, and I was driving my truck and just looking at how beautiful God clouds, and they look like cotton balls. I was just telling God, thank you. I said, Lord, I just want to kiss your feet and tell you thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for the sun and the moon, the stars, and all creation is looking at how God created everything and how good he created us, and we were wonderfully made by his hand. I just thank God for everything he's done, for every blessing, and thank for his Holy Spirit, thank Jesus Christ for the blood. I just thank God, and I just thank God when you were saying that. I just think I was just thinking on how good God was in my life and how he kept me, you know, through all the pain, you know, I was sick up and down. God healed my body. I just said, I tell God, thank you. And then, you know, after you saying that, it was on my mind. And I was thinking about, when you were talking about Moses, didn't know how to even speak. You know, out of all the things, he was, Moses was, something like, if you look at the history, biblical history, historical history, on the, Kemet and, Freemasons, that they build buildings, they build kingdoms, and Moses was very knowledgeable of that, but when he got in the presence of the Creator, he couldn't even speak or have the knowledge of the wisdom that he thought he had, and he knew that, hey, I can't speak anything. And I'm thinking about that scripture when Jesus thought not robbery to be equal to Father, but he humbled himself, and they're going to show you, even now to the son of a man, he was humble enough to know he couldn't do it without the Father either. Every time he would speak, he would say, I come in the name of the Father. He was pointing back to the Father, let them know that, hey, I can't do this without the Father. He is in control. Without him, I'm nothing. I can't make it without. He even had to tell Satan that when he came to him, hey, hold on, no man can live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father, of God. And so, you know, the word was so good, so powerful. You have to stay humble that God can use you, you know, in this hour too, you know, because we're in a time now where, you know, you got, you know, some people, and you know, not discrediting about, you got to pray that they do better and that they see themselves before God, because, you know, like the word God said, he's going to say, men are going to say in that day, well, I did many works in your name. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name and did all these things. And he's going to say, the five of me, you work with iniquity, and you got a lot, you know, some people, not, I can't say a lot of people, because it's only some. God got more than you know, more people that's with him than against him, you know. He ain't even so Elijah that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we're in a time now where, you know, you got, God didn't call a lot of these people, man. You know, the Bible said men are called, few are chosen. And, you know, some people get in it for their own game, you know, for their own, you know, because the accolades of it, the money, you know, the power, and being looked at as something great, you know, and they're not doing it to glorify Christ or do it for people's soul. And so that's the time we live in. It's going to get so bad now. And this time, you know, you got to really have a standard so people can see what real true loans is here. Because, I mean, the way they're doing on and these reality shows and all this stuff that these Hollywood preachers doing, man, it's embarrassing to the body of Christ. And I have to tell people, even when I'm out witnessing, everybody in the church ain't living like that. Don't put everybody in the same boat. But yeah, I sinner say, well, you know, ain't nobody perfect, and oh, Christians ain't perfect, and preachers doing this, and preachers doing that. I say, every preacher ain't doing that. Every preacher ain't after your money. You know, now, don't get me wrong, you need money to function when you got a ministry. It's nothing wrong with giving. The Bible says you give and you shall receive, and you reap what you sow. You know, you give and you reap what you sow. So there's nothing wrong with giving, but everybody's not after trying to be big. Now, they care about people, so they care about seeing people do better. And so, you know, I had to tell people that because, you know, you have to explain that to people when you witness now, because people don't believe that there's no standard no more. They don't believe no preachers can be trusted. And I'm like, every preacher, God ain't going to have this whole planet and everybody doing wrong. If that was the case, he'd burn the whole planet up. He would have been came back. If everybody was messed up like that, and you didn't have anyone praying or really standing in the gap with holiness, God would get it. It'd be done. It'd be over with. Because that's why he told them when he went to Lot, and Lot and his wife, and he told Abraham, said, if he can find 50, he went all the way down to one. And so, you know, God can find, you can find somebody, and in the city, you can be the one that calls God not to bring judgment. So I know not tell people that, because people don't believe that you can live right anymore. They don't believe you can be holy anymore. They don't have to trust in God because of the bad standing what the enemy has done. He has created his own preachers. Everything that God do, he tried to do. And he's set up his own preachers. And so you got to know the difference. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will help you understand. But I just enjoyed the word. The word was so good and powerful. I love to hear you say Pepsi Cola in the bag of chips. It just tickled me to hear you say that, but I love to hear you say that, man. Now, I don't drink Pepsi now, but I like to drink tea. I used to drink soda, but I love to hear you say that. But the word was so good. You be encouraged, Apostle Canada. We always praying for you on our prayer line in the morning. We have prayer line. We always praying for you, because I know, you know, the enemy trying to fight you to stop you from bringing forth his word. But I speak that God continue to strengthen you and every woman and man of God on this prayer line, on your radio broadcast, that God continue to finish the work that he's doing in your life. You have a blessed day. Love you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. I had to walk away from the mic for a minute. But thank you so much for that response. You say so much truth. You know, but not everybody in the church is messed up. Not every preacher is messed up or jacked up. And not every preacher is preaching for money. I mean, God said it in the word this morning that so many of them are, so many, he makes it plain, so many have, they're fasting for profit. God said it very clearly in Habakkuk. He said, and he said they're fasting, and I mean in Isaiah, he said they're fasting for profit. They're not fasting because of they want to be closer to him. And then they don't get no response. You know, there's no reward for them because they're fasting for the wrong reasons. We know it's a fight. You know, if you're gonna do this thing, if you're gonna carry the word, this word is like a baby. It's like a baby in your belly, and sometimes it don't always come out the way you want it to come out. You know, you gotta go through some pushing and squeezing and pressing, just like a woman having given birth. You know, but you have to be willing to push, willing to wait, willing to go through. And you know, sometimes you got to fight hard to. When the women are going to have to give birth, sometimes they'll give birth on the way to the hospital. You know, they have no control over it. So, but you have to allow God to order your steps and so on in the ministry, because this thing gonna get even worse. They said in the scriptures, so it's gonna get worse before it get better. You know, everybody said, well, God has you covered, but the world is gonna get worse because it's the scripture. It's the word of God. We can't get away from it. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But while we're waiting for it to get better, we have to be in the vineyard. We have to be sharing the gospel, because somebody can come out of darkness. He can draw somebody out of darkness. But we got to share it with love and compassion, mercy and grace. All this stuff has to come out of us so somebody would hear and hear the voice of God speaking through us and says, I want that. I want what that man got. I want what that woman got. Because she don't look like she got any money, but she got peace. She got joy. He don't look like he got anything, but he got peace. He got joy. I'm thinking about the people that God allow us to have all over the world. And I'm saying to God, as a God, I don't even have the million. I don't have the million yet. But there's so much people that we are helping, but we're not helping because we have it. We're helping because God have it. You know, we have it because God have it, and every time we got to help somebody, he is the one that make it possible for us to have the funds that we need to help the person. We just thanking God and praising God. Apostle Stewart just got off, but we just thanking God. Brother Deacon, he got off a while, he got back on. We're going to ask you, Minister Jones, to pray and close us out, because ain't nobody else on the line going to respond. So you can just go ahead and pray and close us out. We'll be back here. Somebody,
yes, sir.
Bring a word tomorrow.
Yeah, one other thing. Well, he said, this word, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you, anything you ask, it shall be given. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens
me. That's right.
And then he said, even though things are getting worse, we got the Bible told to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. We got to have fear, and fear means to keep our aim. Make sure you got yourself together. Make sure your spots and wrinkles are getting out of the way, you know, and make sure you examining yourself. Because even as a man or woman of God, or whatever position that God allows to have, we still have to make sure we right. Because you got preachers in hell, too. And so, you know, you want to make sure that we live in accordance to what God's word says, it's one thing to preach, but to live is another thing. And so we got to make sure after we preach and as we live that, you know, I'm living what I preach. Because one thing about the enemy, when you throw a dart at him, well, he comes to me. And you just got to keep the faith and know that if God be for you more than the world against you. But I just thank God. I ask you, Father, today, Lord. First, I tell you, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord. Lord, I humble myself before you, Lord. I'm nothing without you. Don't know what to do or what the way, which way to go. Neither one of us, Lord. But through you, Lord, you said in your word we can do all things. And, Lord, we trust you, Lord. Thank you for the word of God today, Lord. Help us to hide the word in our heart that we won't sin against you, Lord. And continue to bless Apostle Calendar and the radio broadcast and all the apostles and ministers and evangelists and prophets and every man and woman of God is under the sign of my voice. And every person that's not, don't have a title. They're just part of the kingdom, part of the body. God bless them, God. Help them, Lord, to be all you call to be. Help them, Lord, to work out their soul salvation with the spirit and trim them, Lord. Help them, Lord, to draw close to you. Help us, Lord, to go on to perfection in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Those that desire to see be filled with your Holy Spirit, fill them with your Holy Ghost. Fill us with your Holy Ghost, God. Give us a devil portion of your Holy Ghost. God, that we'll be able to walk according to your word, walk according to what you call us to do. Lord, you said in your word, the steps of a good man are ordered by you. Lord, you said in your word, you be lifted up. You'll draw all men unto you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be able to lift you up. Help us to be to do your will in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we also pray for the sick and the shady and those that are sick out there that need strength. Lord, we ask you to send your healing in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus against every sickness, disease, pestilence, anything that's not like God, headaches, back aches, high blood pressure, whatever it may be, we plead the blood of Jesus, God. We ask you to send your healing in the name of Jesus, God. You say, with your stripes, we are healed. So we speak healing today over those that need healing. We cast down everything that's not like God, and we put it over to you in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you, God, God, release your power and your spirit. We plead the blood of Jesus against sorcery, black magic, and also the Satan and everything he tried to say to God to stir us away from you. We plead the blood of Jesus against the Lord. We release your power, your anointing, God, on this prayer line today, God, on this prayer broadcast today, God. We ask you to send your power, send your anointing, Lord. Lord, we really ask you, Lord, release your favor in our life that we'll do your will. Help us to do your will. Help us to pray your will. Help us to preach your will. Help us in the name of Jesus. God, we say, bless your name. Cover us with your blood. Cover those that are traveling, God, that from here to there, and those that are at work, God, cover them with your blood. Cover our children, Lord, from human trafficking, sex trafficking. Lord, keep our family. Keep Africa, Lord. Lord, continue keeping Africa and keeping our, Lord, keep Haiti, Jamaica, Lord, and all the different other countries that are doing all they can to keep us standing. Lord, keep them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we forever bless your name, give your name of glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister. Don't we thank God for you. Thank God for you. Giving you traveling mercy, watching over you, your family, keeping your mother safe and secure, your sisters, all that that is protected, all that pertaining to your relatives. God will keep you safe, keep them safe. And God continue to provide for you and keep you healthy. And you know that we know that God will continue to watch over you. And we are just so grateful for you coming on today. For those that are listening near and far, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. We know even though you're not here, we appreciate you that you're listening. And God is making a way for you as he's making a way for me. In Jesus' name, I'll talk to you all later. God bless you all. You know we love you, but God loves you more. Thank you, Brother Deacon Fraser, for being here with us every day. And we pray that God will continue to add to your ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed evening. All right. Bye-bye.